organization has done a study that shows that working more than 55 hours a week over and over, consistently working more than 55 hours a week, leads to a much higher risk of death from heart disease and stroke. The study reported that between 2000 and 2016, the number of deaths from heart disease due to working long hours increased 42% in those 16 years, 42%. And the instances of stroke and death from overworking increased by 19%. During the pandemic, it looks like this has gotten worse. The lines between work and home have become increasingly blurred. The average workday has increased 48 minutes over the last 2 years. Over the past 2 years, parents have become increasingly exhausted, dealing with all the changes to the lives of their children, trying to balance childcare and work. Singles have become increasingly lonely. Couples have been under increased stress. The need for mental health support has skyrocketed. The weight of all of that hit me when I was preparing for this message on Sabbath. The rhythm of rest from work. The command to observe a Sabbath was given to the people of Israel at Exodus chapter 20, along with the rest of the Ten Commandments. When these Ten Commandments were given, Israel had just been set free from a society that in many ways looked a lot like ours. They lived under the regime of Pharaoh, a workaholic obsessed with his legacy, a relentless monarch who was concerned most about productivity of the people he thought he owned. We get glimpses of his priorities when Moses showed up on the scene. When he's interacting with Moses over and over again, Pharaoh demonstrates his concern that the people don't stop working. He continually makes their lives harder, increasing the required amount of bricks while denying them the resources needed to make those bricks. When they complained about the heavy load on their shoulders, he called them lazy. He threatened them. Under a burden like that, there was no time for rest. The idea of rest was laughable. People were literally worked to death because they weren't valued as people. They were just assets, commodities to be used up and discarded when they were no longer useful. I wonder if any of us can relate to any part of that experience. Our society is a lot like Egypt under Pharaoh. We are obsessed with productivity, obsessed with how much we can get done. We find it increasingly difficult to stop working. I know that over the past 2 years, our teachers have maybe felt like the Israelites, produced the same as before with significantly altered resources. Get those scores up, catch up, grade those papers, be available for parents, teach every child exactly as they need it. Our teachers are exhausted. Our healthcare workers are exhausted. The rules keep changing. The ICUs are full. The politicized handling of a pandemic has made their jobs so much harder. Some of you work for companies where you can never be unavailable, where you can never turn your phone off, where the expectation that comes along with your salary is that you're the property of your company all the time. Some of you work in places where you're expected to work yourselves to death, and you still can't make ends meet. Where your company gives you maybe just enough hours to be useful to them, but not enough hours to have to pay for things like your health care. So you have to work an extra job or two to make ends meet. All of this bad news is why I think we need the Sabbath more than ever. All of this also is why I am so grateful that God made a provision for rest. It's why I am so grateful that we see in Scripture that God cares if we rest. It's why I'm grateful to know that God will hold accountable those who systematically deprive those under their care of Sabbath. As we continue this Sacred Rhythms series today, we're going to talk about Sabbath. the rhythm of work and rest. We'll begin in the book of Exodus, where God has brought his people out of the abusive regime of Pharaoh. And he's telling them what it will be like to live as his people. He's showing them that he is nothing like Pharaoh. As God tells the people what it looks like to be his, he gives them 10 commandments. These commandments were to be gifts to the people, not burdens. These commandments are a way of living that leads to peace. As we see the 10 commandments in the midst of them, we see this giving of the command to rest, to practice Sabbath. It's also the longest God talks about a commandment. So let's read what God says about that in Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. God says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." So as we look at this idea of Sabbath, we're going to answer three questions, just like we did last week. We're going to ask, what is Sabbath? We're going to ask, why do we need it? And we're going to ask, how can we actually practice Sabbath today? So what is it? Why do we need it? How can we practice it? So first, let's answer that question. What is Sabbath? The heart of Sabbath, listen, the heart of Sabbath, the way God designed it, was to create a regular rhythm for individuals and communities to cease working and to enjoy God and his gifts. To create a regular rhythm for individuals and communities to cease working and enjoy God and his gifts. The Hebrew word Shabbat literally means to rest. The passage we just read tells us that the Sabbath is a day where we don't work, just like God didn't work on the seventh day of creation. As we look through the Bible, we see that first, Sabbath was to be a regular rhythm. It's the first component of Sabbath. It's supposed to be a regular rhythm. Every seventh day, the people were to rest. The Jewish practice of Sabbath takes place from Friday night to Saturday night, 24 hours every week where there is rest. God wanted a regular rhythm for people to remember that he would take care of them and that everything they owned belonged to him. So first, Sabbath is about regular rhythm of stopping. Second, Sabbath was about disengaging from work. So people were expected to do all their work on the other 6 days of the week so that on the Sabbath, they didn't work. No plowing fields, no making clothes, not even cooking. In Nehemiah, he exhorts the people not even to engage in buying or selling on the Sabbath, to stop engaging in anything that would provide for your livelihood. So on the Sabbath, secondly, we stop working. Third, the Sabbath was for gathering with God's people. Leviticus 23:3 says, 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. Those last two words, holy convocation, they speak to another part of the Sabbath, the sacred assembly of God's people. On the Sabbath, sacrifices were offered. The people remembered what God had done for them, and they worshiped together as a community. So Sabbath is supposed to be a regular rhythm, a rhythm where we stop from work and where we worship. Or in other words, a regular rhythm for individuals and communities to cease working and enjoy God and his gifts. So that's what Sabbath is supposed to be. Let's move on to the second question. Why do we practice Sabbath? Why do we need it? Well, first we practice Sabbath because it's part of how we were made. See, when God created the world, he established rest as a part of the natural order of creation. When he rested on the seventh day, he was making that a part of how things should be, how things will work best. Genesis 2, 1 through 3 tells us about this establishment of Sabbath. Thus the heavens and earth were finished, and all of the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. This passage is telling us that the divine rest is what finished the work of creation. This wasn't just what happened after creation. This was the final step in creation, rest. The act of God builds into the very nature of creation. It's at the core of how things were made, rest. Just as God designed and put into motion the system of gravity that holds the solar system together and makes it work, God created the system of work and rest, doing and stopping, producing and enjoying. The created order is the rhythm of work and rest. So if rest is part of how we were made, then if we don't do it, things break. And we've all experienced that. Our bodies need rest. That WHO study I mentioned at the beginning, it demonstrates what God told the people in Exodus. You need rest. When we don't rest, it's chaos. God takes this need for rest so seriously that he tells the people in Exodus 31 that not resting leads to death. I think that's what the World Health Organization is saying. When we don't rest, it's death. Wayne Muller, in his book Sabbath, says, if we do not allow for a rhythm of rest in our overly busy lives, illness becomes our Sabbath. Our pneumonia, our cancer, our heart attack, our accidents create Sabbath for us. We need Sabbath because it's how we were designed. And when we don't work according to the designer's instructions, we don't work. If we don't operate according to how we were created, we break. So first, we practice Sabbath because it's part of how we were made. The second reason we practice Sabbath is because God did. I love the way Walter Brueggemann talks about this in his book, Sabbath as Resistance. He says, God rested on the seventh day. God did not show up to do more. God absented God's self from God's office. God did not come in and check on creation in anxiety to make sure it was all working. God has complete confidence in the fruit-bearing, blessing-generating processes of creation that have been instituted. God exhibits no anxiety about the life-giving capacity of creation. God knows the world will hold. The plants will perform, the birds will, and the fish and the beasts of the field will prosper. Humankind will govern the earth in a generative way. All will be well and all manner of thing will be well. I love that. Brueggemann's telling us that God, in resting on the seventh day, set an example for us. God is not a workaholic. God is not anxious about the full functioning of creation, even though he knew what was coming. God knows that the well-being of creation does not depend on endless work. And in his resting, he set a precedent for us. God's identity was not at stake if he rested, and family, neither is yours. I promise, whatever chaos ensues at your job if you take a day off is nothing compared to what God knew was coming. And he rested. See, the people of Israel needed to be reminded, just like we do, that God is not like Pharaoh. One Pharaoh in Exodus at the beginning of the book was so anxious about what would happen if the Israelites outnumbered the Egyptians that he enslaved an entire group of people. Another Pharaoh in the book of Exodus was an endlessly anxious presence whose constant desire for more created a society in which everyone was always working, where there was never an end in sight. The Pharaoh that Joseph interacts with in the book of Genesis had nightmares about the scarcity of food and resources, and then he hoarded all of the wealth for himself, leaving his subjects in poverty. God wanted his people to know he is not like Pharaoh. That's why Moses reminds them in Deuteronomy 5:15, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." He's saying, remember where you came from and that you're not there anymore. God is nothing like Pharaoh. God is not anxious. God rests. God cares that you rest. Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." God wants us to rest. Because you are the people of God, you will be people who are invited to rest. So we practice Sabbath because it's how we were made. We practice Sabbath because God practices Sabbath. Another reason we practice Sabbath builds on this. Sabbath is how we demonstrate that we trust God. Sabbath is the answer to the anxiety of Pharaoh. Instead of anxious activity, we choose rest. And on our day of rest, we remember. In the book of Deuteronomy, as Moses gave his last big speech to the people of Israel, he exhorted them over and over, remember. Remember what God did for you in Egypt. Remember that God gave you power. Remember the day that God brought you out of Egypt. Look back, remember. Remember how you used to be slaves, and remember how I freed you. Remember, you have been rescued. You're not slaves anymore. Remember, I provide for you. Remember how I provided for you in the desert with manna and meat and water. And so on our day of rest as a community, as we cease striving and working, we remember. We remember how God has provided for us before. We remember how God has protected us, how God has given us everything we needed. See, to rest is to declare that we know ultimately it is not our striving that provides for us what we need. To rest is to declare that it is God's gracious choice to give us what we need. In Egypt, we had to work hard for every single morsel. But God sees people as more than commodities. God sees people as his children. God loves people. God cares about his people. And so on the Sabbath, we draw a line in the sand that says, I will trust God. I will trust that if I live according to the way God made creation, he will take care of me. I will trust that if I don't need to be anxiously active all the time. On the Sabbath, we acknowledge that we are limited creatures in need of the Creator. And yeah, that makes for some courageous decisions. Decisions to put away our laptops and our phones one day a week. Decisions about our kids and sports and all the things that we think we have to do for them now or they'll fall behind. Sabbath is our way of declaring God is enough. That we refuse to play the anxious game of the world, always chasing more. Sabbath is how we declare that we trust God. So we practice Sabbath because it's how we were made, We practice Sabbath because God does. And we practice Sabbath because it demonstrates our trust in God. There's one more really important reason that we practice Sabbath. We practice Sabbath for the sake of justice. Justice. See, when God gave the command for the Sabbath, he commanded that everyone rest. You, your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your animals, the foreigner living among you, everyone is supposed to get rest. Sabbath is intended to resist inequality, to resist exclusivity. In Egypt, for all his anxiety, I'm certain that Pharaoh enjoyed a day at the beach from time to time. But not the slaves. They never got to rest. And God says to that, not in my kingdom. It's not going to be like that here. In my kingdom, everyone gets to rest. So as we rest, as we practice Sabbath, part of our concern is that our neighbor gets to rest too. Sabbath wakes us up to be concerned that everyone gets to be refreshed. The routine of Sabbath works to heighten our senses one day every week to the problems in our society that make it so that not everyone gets to rest. Sabbath is how we say to those without the ability to rest, we see you. We see your situation and we lament with you. We see your situation and we acknowledge that it's wrong. It's not how God wants things to be. We see your situation and we will do whatever is within our power to change things so that you get to practice Sabbath too. And that whatever is within our power is different for all of us. If you're a boss, if you're a parent, God is counting on us. God's holding us accountable to make sure that those under our care get to practice rest. That's serious. That's heavy stuff. That might mean, if you're a boss, encouraging people to take their days off. It might mean setting an example yourself by being unavailable one day a week. It might mean rewarding people for taking days off, encouraging it. It might mean advocating for a living wage for your employees. There are stories of CEOs that have taken massive pay cuts so that the people that are employed by them can have fair wages. Well, maybe you're not a boss, but for some of us, it might look like on our Sabbath, we don't do anything that requires somebody else not to Sabbath. So maybe as a practice of remembering others, maybe we don't go out to eat on our Sabbath. Or maybe it influences the way we vote for things as we take advantage of the American system in which we live, where we get to all have a voice into how our countries run. Are we thinking about Sabbath for all when we take our vote to the ballot box? I'm not saying you have to vote for any one party or the other. I'm just saying the issue of Sabbath is directly impacted by how we vote. And I want us to be aware of that. Maybe as part of our Sabbath, we can cook extra food and bring a meal to someone who doesn't get a Sabbath. Sabbath is not for just us as individuals. Sabbath is for the community. Sabbath is about justice. So we've said what Sabbath is. Sabbath is a regular rhythm for individuals and communities to cease working and enjoy God and his gifts. That's what it is. We also answered why. Why do we celebrate Sabbath? We Sabbath because it's what we were made for, because God rested, because it helps us demonstrate our trust in God, and we celebrate Sabbath for the sake of justice. Okay, Katie, how do we do that? How do we make this happen? It seems like a lot. Katie, I don't have 24 hours I can just give up right now every week. Help. I get it. So there's a couple of helpful pointers that I think might be useful. Even if right now you can't give a full 24 hours every week, let's start somewhere, okay? So first, we practice Sabbath by creating a rhythm, okay? The rhythm is important. It should not just be a once in a while, like once a month or once a year. The rhythm of a weekly time of Sabbath, whether that's a whole day or a few hours, is important. The rhythm of Sabbath helps us get through a tough week because we know Sabbath is coming. Whether it's 2 hours or 24, we know we can get through because we have those 2 hours blocked off where we can rest. The first practice of Sabbath is to find a regular time you can practice. And again, for some of you, that might mean starting with just a few hours. Maybe you can't find a whole day, but start by claiming some amount of regular time as your Sabbath. Put it on the calendar. Claim it. Start by claiming a time. Okay, so we've claimed a time. Now what? Let's talk about what we include and exclude on the Sabbath, okay? So let me preface this too by saying these are suggestions. These are suggestions. The goal of Sabbath is for us to regularly rest and enjoy God and his gifts. These are some thoughts on how you might do this, but we don't need to be legalistic about Sabbath. The Sabbath was not given to burden you with more rules to follow and feel bad about not doing. The Sabbath, as Jesus says in Mark 2:27, was made for us as a gift. So this is some suggestions. Ruth Haley Barton, in her book, Sacred Rhythms, I've mentioned that book several times in the series, she gives some great suggestions about three things to not do on the Sabbath and three things to do on the Sabbath. They're having fun over there. So Ruth Haley Barton suggests excluding on the Sabbath work, buying and selling, and worry. Work, buying and selling, and worry. On our Sabbath, we abstain from work. Anything that has to do with our need to feel productive. So our jobs that we get paid for, yes. But for some of us, that might be yard work, house chores, checking anything off a list. It might mean putting your phone or your computer away for the Sabbath. I heard once of a family that had a Sabbath box, and they put all of their electronics in the Sabbath box on the Sabbath so that they weren't distractions. Ruth Haley Barton also suggests that we might refrain from buying and selling on the Sabbath. This suggestion is based on the passage of Nehemiah, where Nehemiah encourages the Israelites returning to not engage in buying or selling. What's that about? That's about not being a consumer. It's about abstaining from a society for a day that is so built around consuming. So on my Sabbath, I really need to not go on Amazon, and I probably also shouldn't go to Target, because for me, those are two surefire places where I get just wrapped right back in to our culture of consumerism. So we abstain from work, we abstain from buying and selling, and we abstain from worry. I love that invitation, to abstain from mental or emotional work. The Sabbath is intended for rest. So maybe on our Sabbath, we need to park the things that are worrying us for a period of time. For some of you, maybe it would be helpful to even write a list of the things that are really worrying you. And when you begin your Sabbath, hold that list up to God and say, God, I want to rest from this. Can you help me surrender these to you? And then feel free not to take them back when your Sabbath is over. So we abstain from work, from buying and selling, and from worry, from emotional work. The bottom line here is that we exclude anything that gets in the way of us enjoying God and his gifts. We exclude things that keep us from rest, keep us from enjoying God and his gifts. Okay, so what do we do then? If we're not going to do those things, what do we do instead? Again, our friend Ruth Haley Barton has three great suggestions. Three things: rest, replenish, and restore. Rest, replenish, restore. On the Sabbath, we rest our bodies. What's restful for your body? Taking a bath? Taking a walk in the woods? A bike ride through the park? In Jewish tradition, married couples were given like extra Sabbath brownie points for engaging in marital sex on the Sabbath. Whatever relaxes your body, enjoy on the Sabbath. Sometimes on the Sabbath, the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap. Just take a nap. On the Sabbath, we rest our bodies. On the Sabbath, second, we replenish our spirits. So what renews you? What brings you joy? Is it being outside in nature? Is it baking cookies with your kids? Is it a Mario Kart tournament? Is it dinner with dear friends? What's something you do that leaves your spirit feeling refreshed? This is an important question to pay attention to, because often our default, like, chill out activities don't actually refresh us. They just sort of let us zone out and fill the time. For me, TV is that. I always go to TV when I'm tired, but it never actually makes me feel refreshed. It's just something to do to pass the time. And so when we're thinking about Sabbath, let's be intentional to choose activities that don't just require us to sit still, but are something that actually refreshes our spirits, leave our spirits feeling good. So we rest our bodies, we replenish our spirits, and then the third thing we do is to make space to restore our souls. Restore our souls. The Sabbath is time to take care of your soul, to reconnect with God, to remember who God is and what he's done for you. We do that here together in our weekly time of worship. We need to do that together, to hear each other's stories, to be encouraged by each other. You can also do that on your own. You can take a meditative walk. You can write in a journal. You could do the practice of the prayer of examine that we talked about a few weeks ago and look back on the week before. That resource, by the way, is on our website on that Sacred Rhythms page with a bunch of other resources. Maybe you can find a ritual that you can do as a family that does this. Some kind of activity that your family can practice together to reset your sense of trust in God and the peace that that brings. I've got a link also on our Sacred Rhythms page of our website. A couple of ways families can do this together. Sabbath is hard with little kids. I have kids. I know. Sabbath is hard for kids. But Miss Abby gave me a couple of great resources. The first is a great article about how you can help your kids start to think about Sabbath. I found it really, really helpful. So you could check that article out. The second is an example of a kind of calendar you could use to plan into your week. What are we going to do on our Sabbath to refresh together? Both of those, again, are on our website. So these are some suggestions of what you might do on your Sabbath. But the important thing is for us to remember that Sabbath is a gift. My hope is that as we practice Sabbath, as we get into this routine of offering a portion of our week to rest and to enjoy God and his gifts, that the Sabbath becomes a gift we look forward to. I love the way the Message paraphrases Isaiah 58:13-14. It's a promise for us as we practice Sabbath. It says, "If you watch your step on the Sabbath and don't use my holy day for personal advantage, if you treat the Sabbath as a day of joy, God's holy day as celebration, if you honor it by refusing business as usual, by making money, by running here and there, then you'll be free to enjoy God. Oh, I'll make you ride high and soar above it all. I'll make you feast on the inheritance of your ancestor, Jacob. Yes, God says so." Isn't that beautiful? I'll make you ride high and soar above it all. When we practice Sabbath, it becomes the beautiful, anticipated center of our week. We find we can make it through the week because we know Sabbath is coming, and we're ready for the next week because we've rested. We've remembered that God is on our side, that God cares about us, that God provides for us, and we're ready. That's what God wants for you. That's what I want for you. I want you to have the gift of Sabbath, the gift of rest. And so in these next few moments, we're going to have some time for reflection about our practice of Sabbath. The band's going to come back up and play a song, and then we're going to have silence. So those of you in person, maybe were handed a copy of the practice on your way in. If not, it's on the back tables with the communion. You can grab it. It's just a reflection about your practice of Sabbath. Online, you should be seeing this link dropped into your chat right now. In the next few minutes, listen to the song, and then take some time to consider these questions about Sabbath. And then, family, draw a line in the sand. Put it on your calendar. Choose to practice Sabbath. Make a commitment to it. And then see what happens.